70 men could fall in an altar and pray for one individual specifically and God not do nothing. So God's doing something. And just what Brother Troy said, won't it be amazing we get to see him walk in this church and get saved by the glory of God? It ain't if he's going to get saved, it's when he's going to get saved, Brother Gerald. I believe God's going to save him. I want to say to Brother Dennis, he touched my heart yesterday in that service. That was good. And I appreciate the Lord. We just got off revival. The Lord's done some wonderful things. He's not done yet. God's laid something on my heart this morning that I'm going to deal with. And I want you to really be attentive. I want you to ask yourself where you are with the Lord this morning. Where do you stand in your fellowship with Jesus? I wonder, as I was reading, the psalmist David faced some things in his life. You know, isn't it amazing how when we get saved, we get so excited? And I think about Brother Jason, Miss Mandy, their family. And I think about Daniel and Amanda, their family, that God's just done something for them. How excited that they are. And, you know, that helps our church, people to get excited about Jesus. Then we go on in the walk of life and we begin to face battles. We face things that are difficult. And I don't know about you, but one of the biggest things I face every day is not the devil, and it's really not the world, but it's me. The things that go on in me is one of the biggest battles that I ever face. Not only the battle of my mind, Satan loves to get my mind and tell me it can't get better and it won't get better, but you know, I'm glad I found out he's a liar, Brother Randall. He's the father of lies. You know, I've noticed some things in pastoring and preaching now for some days that if you're going to have God in your church, then your church is going to have to be a special place. Your church where you attend just can't be a run-of-the-mill place. It's going to have to be a place of dedication and faithfulness. It's going to have to be a place where God is allowed to be God. And it's a place where that me and you are going to have to keep ourselves in tune with God. You know, a preacher can get up and he can preach five straight nights, and if you don't do anything with the preaching, it's not going to help you. Then number two, if you're not here to hear it, you certainly can't do nothing with it. Now, I need something for me. And we have a church that we can reach a community, that we can better our lives, we can raise our children. But first and foremost is what? It's to worship God. For He seeks such of those to worship Him in what? In spirit. And if you're not the right kind of spirit, you can't worship God. And in truth, you've got to have the right truth to worship God. Let's look what David said in Psalms chapter number 19. Psalms 19. David experienced some things in his life that he faced. He said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." And he says, verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right." And don't ever doubt that. God's writings are right. Look what he says. "Rejoice in the heart The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. He says, more to be desired are they than gold, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and honeycomb. Verse 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them is great reward. Who can understand his errors? And this is what I want to deal with. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. You know, as a norm, we're a group of good people. I don't really know of anything going on in our membership of open adultery or open drunkenness or things going on that people can see. But I want to ask you this morning, what's going on in you that people can't see? He talked about something that was a secret. And if it's a secret, it means two things. One, everybody don't know about it, but somebody knows about it. Secret. He said, Lord, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm this type of a Christian. I'm very transparent. Brother David's a very transparent man. It's hard for me and him to hide what's going on in us. And a lot of times, we forget about some things that's happening in us. We try to keep ourselves pure in a testimonial aspect, but I've noticed those aren't the biggest barriers in my life. Open adultery scares me to death. You know why? Because I know if this church finds out about it, it's going to shame you. It's going to shame these children. If I abuse my wife, Brother Randall, it's going to shame this church. And the children's going to know. It's things like that that I really keep on guard about, that I'm going to be careful not to ruin my testimony, my faithfulness. But there's some things inside of us that David says, if we're not careful, will overtake us. Secret faults. Or secret sin. And I want to deal with a few of them this morning. Hurley, and I want you to listen to the Scripture. And the main battle, the main warfare of a Christian lies not in the open field. It lies not in visible skirmishes. But his main quarrels and conflicts are mostly within. Would you agree with that? A little grace may reform an evil life, but it must be a great deal of grace that reforms an evil heart. A little grace may make a man victorious over outward gross sins, but it must be a great deal of grace that makes man victorious over inward sins, secret sins, spiritual sins, and heart sins. Now, first of all, there is the danger of a self-love. Ephesians 5. In 21, it's pretty easy to get wrapped up in self and put you first and foremost. Ephesians 5 and 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. That's not changed in our day. Society has changed and it said, well, equal rights. Well, we all have equal rights, but what's that got to do with the Word of God? Submitting yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Now, ladies, I'm going to tell you something. If you're living a life of rebellion, there's no way you can be right with Jesus. No way can you worship God in spirit and truth if your spirit's not right. Now, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ has loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. It is amazing to me what men do to their wives. And this secret self-love that we have, if you're not careful, it'll get out of bounds. It's not about just individuals. It's not just about me. You know how come our marriage has made it nearly 30 years? Because it's been a give and a take. And I'm going to tell you, it's been a whole lot more giving than taking. And you've got to want to be together more than you want to be apart. He says in verse 28, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." Well, a man that would hit his wife, he's a coward. He's just a little polecat. He's a little wimpy type person. I never seen a man beat up on himself. Have you, Brother Donald? Well, you'd be goofy to beat on yourself. And so we ought to love our wives. Look what it says. Love our wives as their own bodies. What did you do for you this morning, guys, when you got up and got dressed? Well, if you love your wife as your own body, then we ought to be seeing about them and what they need and caring for them. Quit looking at other men's wives and quit looking at women that we think's prettier than what we got and take care of what God's given us. See, I'm convinced I'm going to really start preaching. Because preaching's why we're in a mess this morning, for the lack of it. And I won't go and tell you, just because sin comes to your house, don't you get mad at this preacher. That's your problem. I'm just the mailman. I didn't write this Bible. It's my job to deliver the mail. It's not my job to critique it and say, well, that offends this and I better not preach it. Because when I do that, we fix it being a big mess around here. We fix it being a big mess. And I don't care if you're in leadership. It don't matter. It don't matter if it's at my house, if it's my kids. It don't matter. Self-love. Then, secret hardness of heart. Mark 16 and 14. Mark 16 and 14. It's a secret of a hardness of heart that Jesus was telling His disciples. This is what He told them in Mark 16 and verse number 14. "Afterward He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen." That word upbraided, you know what it means? It means to defame, to rail or chide or rebuke. And a lot of times we have a hardness of heart. We won't hear the Word of God. We'll hear the Word of God, but we won't allow the Word of God to come in our heart and soften it up and do what He wants us to do. I don't think the problem at Liberty Baptist Church this morning is the content of preaching. I think it's the applying of preaching. Secret of hardness of heart. Then a secret of unbelief. Philippians 4 and 6. It's very easy for a man to have this spirit of unbelief in him. Philippians 4 and verse number 6. A lot of times we wonder, is God going to see about us? Philippians 4 and 6. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Secret unbelief. How many times have we said, "God, you can't take care of my problem. God, you can't handle my situation. God, you can't pay my bills. You can't save my children. You can't do this. So Lord, I'm just going to doubt you in unbelief." It's a sin to have unbelief. then the secret of carnal confidence. We think a lot of times, just because we've been saved a while, that we've arrived and we can just do anything and preaching don't apply to us. We think, well, preaching's for those that hadn't heard that before. What are you doing what you've done heard over and over and over? I love what Brother Jerry told me revival night. He said, Pastor, that man's only said what you've been preaching here for years. But we get older and we think, well, that don't relate to me. This Word of God's it's no respecter of person. This relates to me every day of my life. And if I don't apply it, I'm going to get myself in a world of trouble. Carnal confidence. He said, I can do all things through Christ, not Himself, which strengtheneth me. Yes, the Lord gives us great power. We have great power in this church, but friend, without Him, we can do nothing. And so, don't think that you can do anything by yourself, because He said, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Carnal confidence. Then secret hypocrisy. Look in Matthew 23. Well, this is a weighty verse right here. Matthew 23. Secret sins. Now, He said, I want you to cleanse me from my secret fault. Secret hypocrisy. In Matthew 23 and verse 27, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of Now this is Jesus teaching. I don't know where anybody got that Jesus was a little old limber belly preacher. He said, ye serpents and ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets, preachers, and wise men, and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall you scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these shall come upon this generation. Secret hypocrisies or deceit. Saying something that we're not. You know, when this church first started, there was a group of people, a nucleus of people said, we want a church that is real and genuine and a church where we have liberty to worship God. May the Lord help us as Christians, born again believers, when sinners walk in this place and it's not enough power of God to birth them in the family of Jesus. You know why? It's because of our lifestyle. It's our lifestyle. Testimony's everything, folks. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. A church is not going to have no power unless they have holiness and godliness. A church is not going to have no power if they just flippantly serve Jesus. Hypocrisy. It's saying you got something in you, but you ain't got in you what you say is in you. Deceit. And then There can be the secret sin of envy. Titus 3 and 3. Envy. Titus 3 and 3. You know what envy is? It's ill will, it's jealousy, and it's spite. It said, for we ourselves also were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving different lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of our God and Savior toward man appeared. Boy, I'm glad He says we were sometime. We ought to not live that way in our life. Envy, ill will, jealousy, and spite. And then 1 Peter 2 and 1, there's a secret malice. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speaking. This word malice, it means wickedness and naughtiness. It means badness and depravity. Evil or naughtiness, malice. Be careful what you let your eyes look at. Did you know that this computer could be one of the greatest blessings that you could have, or it could be one of the biggest curses that's ever been pulled in your driveway? How many times have men opened one pop-up statement and looked, and it caught them for a lifetime? It wrecked their home, wrecked their marriage, wrecked their children, wrecked their job. Because one time you let your eyes do something you ought to not let it do. Malice. Evil. Naughtiness. God knows these secret things in our heart. Secret vainglory, Galatians 5. It's self-conceit. Self-conceit. Galatians chapter number 5 and verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Boy, it's not about us. It's not who can sing the best or preach the best. It's pointing people to Jesus, putting us on the backside and letting God be God. Vainglory. He said it's vain for you to try to have glory. And you know, pride is something that'll come on you before you know it and get in you and mess you all up. Pride. God hates pride. God hates pride. If there's anything that I always try to teach my children, at that time, we had the nicest things and still do. I don't want to belittle God. Let me back up. Can I back up? Today, we've got the nicest things of anybody in the community. But God help us if we say we better than somebody else. God help us if we've got nice clothes and they ain't got the nice clothes. God help us if He's blessed us to have something that nobody else has and we think we're a limb above somebody else. Boy, that has killed me more than anything, raising my children. God had blessed me, and Brother David seemed like God had just let me have anything I wanted. I said, you better watch your head. You get out of bounds with your blessings. Pride, vain glory. Then this is what he said. Secret. Fretting and murmuring. And then, I want to deal with this real quickly. Secret lustings. Do you know what lust is? Galatians 5 and 16. Galatians 5 and 16. Secret lustings, it's This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lust is that which is forbidden. It's evil desire or a longing. It's what's in you that's wanting what's not right for you. Lust is that which is forbidden. It's an evil desire. And you know something in James 1:14? This is the thing that really... You remember the other night when the black preacher preached? And he had a message. And you know what scared me to death about somebody that was here that night? With what he preached. God sent you a word, and it scares me what you've done with the word. In James 1 and 14, see, you take a total different perspective when you're a pastor. You've got people to look out after. You've got a whole flock to keep together and see what's going on in individual life. You've got a realm of responsibility that many of you know nothing about. And when a man comes and he preaches on a warning, it really bothers me. As my people heeded the warning, have I heeded the warning? Look what he says, lustings. James 1 and 14, remember what he said? Every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. Verse 13, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. Don't you think for one minute God is tempting you with lust, because He ain't doing it. He says every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and entice. The devil knows our weakness. Your own lust, you see that? And your lust may not be my lust. Your weakness probably ain't my weakness. But I've got a weakness. And he says when we're tempted of it and we give away in it, then buddy, when it's finished, it's going to bring forth death. Now I'm going to tell you this morning. God may not keep you from doing what you're doing, but you ain't going to keep Him from doing what He's going to do either. You go on and play around with this thing of spiritual warfare. You go on and play around with your responsibilities of this church. You just go around and walk through this life like this is just a little old cake and a coffee banquet. Honey, there's a payday coming someday. There's settling up day coming one morning. And there's a God sitting on the throne that knows everything what's in us this morning. Now He said, when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And when it's finished, it brings forth death. You may be playing with it right now, honey, but it's coming, it's going to play you. Do you think I just thumbed through this and found something to teach this morning? Or do you think maybe this morning at 7 o'clock in my study, God showed me I better deal with these 12 things this morning? Sure, we had a good revival. Sure we did. People say, wonderful. What are we going to do next Sunday? What are we going to do this Sunday? What are we going to do Monday when we walk out of this church? What kind of testimony are you going to have when you come back in here Wednesday? Boy, this lustful heart, we better watch it. Lust is that which is forbidden and evil desire. How many times has the devil told you it's greener on the other side of the fence, buddy, just get over there in it? You better watch it. Look what he says in verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. He ain't talking to unsaved people. You listen to me. We're human. And if you take your guard down for one day, you're going to fall. We need the Word of God. We need the preaching of the Word of God. We need the fellowship of the saints of God. What's it do for you when you come here with a burden and other men come around you and pray and can pray? I'll never forget, as long as I live, when Brother David got in them chemicals at the plant. I was someplace far away. I think I was out on business. And I couldn't get to Brother David. And I fell down in a motel room by my bed. And God showed me right then, If I'm going to be the man, the saint of God that He wants me to be, I better keep my life right so I can pray for my brothers, whether I can get there or can't get there. I better be able to get to the throne room of glory. And you can't do it with sin in your life. You live it a lie. Secret lustings. Secret runnings. James 4 and verse number 4. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Look what he says. Submit yourselves to God, verse 7. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. God don't want us running after the things of this world. Secret runnings. How many times have you got right with the Lord? You got dedicated in the work of God. You got disciplined in the house of God. And all of a sudden, the devil shows you a little whirlwind out yonder, and you go after it. And the preacher in Ecclesiastes said, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Be careful, don't let your heart go to the world, because God is a jealous God. He's married you, friend. You're engaged to Him. He come by and saved you, and He's a jealous God. And He wants no other gods before us. None other. I seen a lake house that we down in Alabama this week. Over in over there in there's a subdivision called Hunter Bend. They in front of this big magnificent mansion out on the water, showed my wife. They got this big Buddha looking deal and this big totem pole up over it, a giving praise to another God. Honey, let me tell you something. The God I preach about, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, He's the real God. He's the only God. He's a jealous God. And we ought to kill all these gods in our life that's taking place before our real God. When you don't worship Him and you can't worship Him and you don't come to worship Him, you say, you are second place. And I don't care what you think. That's the truth. And if you don't want a man to tell you the truth, go find your sissy someplace that won't preach to you. This is what kills me. It ain't the lack of preaching. It's the lack of people dealing with preaching. You got all the preaching to save the world. What you going to do with preaching? A lot of poor people sitting around, they ain't got no preaching. They ain't got the option you got. I know I ain't the best preacher in Georgia. I know that. But honey, you got some best preachers come through here America's got to offer. The Word of God, whether it's preached from you or me or you or you, it does the same thing. It ain't about the delivery, boy. It's the content of the delivery. It's what you do with it. And you say, well, I don't know what's wrong with me. Respond to the Word of God. Amen. Quit hardening your heart. Take and apply it to medicine. Use it. It's a mirror. It'll show you where you are. It's nothing like the Spirit of God in the service. But in order to have the Spirit of God, the saints of God have got to be right. He's got to be everything. Secret lustings. Secret runnings. Out after the world. Wonder how God feels sometimes, the way we treat Him. And I don't know about y'all. I'm going to be real plain. I ain't never been an issue with that. But if I went down here, Larry Traylor's convenience store, and bought me a 12-pack of Budweiser, Went up down them sidewalks of drinking, and you know what? Y'all would see me. Right. And I know better to do that. And I don't care what anybody says. It does matter how you live, and it matters how people perceive you, and it does matter what your name is. I went out here and got me one of these old trashy women, and I went up and laid with her about 2 weeks. You know what, Brother Wayne? That bothers me because I know people would see it and know about it. But what about these things I've dealt with this morning that nobody else can see but one? God help us to get right. God help us to be the church that is in the old way and undo. God help us to be the families knit together to keep this thing going for another generation. God help us, leadership, to have a kind of testimony to lead these young'uns in the straight and the narrow way. God help you, ladies, to submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Teach these young ladies coming up of what is right. God help us to let this place catch a fire for the glory and the power and the presence of God that would draw sinners in a community dying and going to hell every day. God help us. I want to say I thank you men for the support and the love that you give to me and encourage me. But that don't make us to where these things can't come in our heart. Miss Sherry, would you come this morning and play something for me? Boy, this thing's been on my heart since a little past daylight this morning. And I'm not up just a ranting and a raving. I know I do that sometime, but I ain't doing that this morning. I'm just telling you what God says about them secret sins. Psalmist David said, cleanse me of them secret. Lord, I don't want them anymore. God, it's affected my worship. It's affected my faithfulness. It's affected my home. God, it's affected everything about me. God, get it out of me. You got to have a piano to get you to talk to the Lord about it. What you need. Did you come? Are you concerned enough? Are you just going to sit there mad and blowed up? Are you going to do something about what God sent you to deal with this morning? Lord, help me to be the Christian you want me to be. Help me. God, help me to be the preacher that you've called me to be. He said, let us lay aside the weight of sin which does so easily beset us. Help us.